All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're watching Oilers Nation every day with Tyler Yaremchuk. Your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
Ah, no trades to talk about. Not an Oilers game day. I'm sure there's nothing weird going on in our YouTube chat. Let's get into it with the lead. We're going to talk about that essay that was submitted to us. If someone spends that much time putting something in our YouTube chat, I feel like we owe it to them to address it. Mm-hmm. Have we taken the clock out from behind me? No, I once again forgot to bring my power tools into work today because we had to reinstall the shelves and just all that stuff.
It's a lot. We're not built for this.
You know what? If you're a good friend, maybe tag me in some tweets tomorrow at like 10:40 and be like, hey, Tyler, don't forget to bring in your power tools to work.
If you're also a good friend, leave a like on the video.
Yeah, do that.
We haven't set a like goal in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to throw it back a little bit. 109. Is the light goal today?
Why
not? That is my question.
All right.
10 plus 9 is 19, and we are 5 days away from the 19th of March.
We're 7 days away from the 19th of March. Welcome into Oilers Nation every day. Streaming live on the Oilers Nation YouTube, where, yes, we're looking for 109 likes today on that YouTube channel. We are coming to you live from the Sports Closet studio. Another day without a game for the Oilers. I really don't like this whole weekend back-to-backs and then a bunch of game days off for the sole reason of it's more difficult to do a daily talk show about the Oilers when they don't play games during the week.
We came into the office today, and typically, we share the responsibility of doing a rundown for the show, but Recently I've started doing it and Tyler helps out after. And I come in today and I was like, Tyler, all I've got is the menu by DoorDash because I know we'll have Oilers Nation Radio this afternoon. Everything else kind of came together on the fly.
But so, we do
also
actually,
a big shout out to the guy who left the comment because that's actually quite helpful.
Yep. So that helps. There are days like today where it's tough to come up, but actually, once we started going through all the different things from around the hockey world we wanted to talk about, it was like an hour is probably going to fly by today. We have a lot of kind of interesting things we want to take a peek at throughout the course of the show. A fun little segment for Star Mechanical. We have a short for giant offseason question where I put on my offseason GM cap, the old armchair GM horny edition of the show. We're going to go through what this summer could maybe look like for the Oilers now that we know a few things. That paired with a rumor roundup for Tourism Jasper will certainly be interesting as well. But let's start with this, Liam. The LTIR comment over in the Charm Diamonds YouTube chat.
By Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage.
Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage.
We have the button there, but we have no one behind this.
Aaron's working from home today.
So no one could hit the Jones Barbecue Foot Massage button.
Should I go get it?
No, it's fine. Let's get into this comment, all right? It is a 9-parter, I believe. It's intense. Jones is in and says, so remember at the beginning of the season, I asked you guys a question about the long-term injury reserve. I told you guys, why not just put somebody, Draisaitl, or I'm going to fix the spelling on a lot of these. Yeah. I'll just roll through them. Draisaitl or McDavid on injury, and then do what the Vegas Golden Knights do every year with Mark Stone or somebody else. Put them on there, use their money to pick up extra players. And then when game one of the playoffs start, miraculously, that player is good to go and can play in the first round. Tyler, you told me I don't believe that's the way it works. It might not be a rule that applies, but the Golden Knights use every year. I also suggested trading Jack Campbell, and you guys and other people in the chat were talking about taking me off your page. No, we were going to put you in timeout.
I do not remember this, man.
I don't either.
Clearly, but we live rent-free.
Yeah, but the rule was if you brought up trading Jack Campbell, you got put in a 5-minute timeout.
That's true.
You didn't get kicked off the page. I don't get why the Oilers do not do this, as every team in the NHL does this. Incorrect, just Vegas does. And would you not know it? They always seem to win the Stanley Cup. Tampa Bay did it. Vegas, everything that wins the cup, do this exact same thing. Why the amateur Oilers not do it either? Edmonton Oilers. It's a sick game, but it's what teams do to win. They put a player on LTIR, use that cap space to bring in players no longer hurt, especially that goof Mark Stone. Kick me off your page if you want. We won't. But this is what you guys told you at the beginning of the year, and you were arguing with me. Okay. We got to break down a few
things. Oh, there's more.
Oh, my God. No, there's not.
Oh,
no. It's just people tagging him.
I thought that was it.
So let's go. I want to talk about this. And is it frustrating to see the Golden Knights do this? Yes. But the original sin, if you want to call it that, was the Kucherov thing. And that was fishy because they knew he needed surgery. And he didn't get that surgery till like November or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. They delayed that surgery and gamed that so that it could line up perfectly with the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Nikita Kucherov, to an extent, would have had to agree with that as well and do the whole, I was debating if I wanted surgery, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I get that. That one was fishy, though, because of where they delayed the surgery to. But it's worth remembering with Kucherov, he did have surgery. They didn't make that up. And you need a doctor sign off. The NHL, as much as we like to sit there and laugh and be like, what a joke league, they do some due diligence in this whole process. Nikita Kucherov actually had a surgery, and the timeline was the correct timeline for that kind of a surgery. The Lightning just delayed when he needed the surgery. Okay. The Vegas Golden Knights now, Mark Stone's gone on LTIR to end the last 3 regular seasons, I believe.
Yeah. One year they missed the playoffs.
They missed the playoffs the year they got Eichel.
Yeah. Because they had Eichel and Stone on LTIR.
That is a risk you take. So, Jones, when you say, why not just put McDavid or Draisaitl on injury? There's no guarantee of making the playoffs. If you want to throw Connor McDavid on LTIR in January to get a couple of guys at the deadline, I would say that's dumb. That's a foolish idea.
Yeah, I agree. And
secondly, with Mark Stone, he has injuries. Last year, the back thing popping up when it did, I know that looks fishy. Mm-hmm. That is fishy because they go spend the money immediately on Barbashev and whatever. This year, he has a ruptured spleen. You can't exactly fake a ruptured spleen. And from what we've been hearing with Mark Stone, and I know Gregor's been great at bringing this up too, there is no guarantee Mark Stone's playing game one of the playoffs this year. Like, far from a guarantee. And if you want me to put my conspiracy hat on to go against this, the Golden Knights have $8.8 million in cap space this summer with the hurdle deal now going through. They are apparently going to sign Noah Hanifin for somewhere between $6.5 and $8 million. I wonder if Mark Stone is going to play again, if I'm being totally honest with you. I have no inside information, no report, nothing like that. But I just look at this cap picture. They have a ton of UFAs they need to sign. Marchessault, Stevenson, there are a lot. Mantha's going to be a UFA now, is one of the ads. Amadio, Pavel Dorofeev's an RFA. I'm kind of sitting there going, was this the last straw for Mark Stone? Is he going to sit there and go, I have my ring. We won. I can't keep putting my body through this.
Yeah.
I don't wonder if that's not a possibility, because why else would you agree to that much money in term on a guy like Hurdle?
I completely agree. And one thing I'll say, Mark Stone shows up game one of the playoffs, and yes, we're going to question this a lot more. But right now, the evidence shows that this guy is seriously hurt.
Yeah.
And another thing, I've said this numerous times now, losing your best players is not a benefit to your team.
No.
It is not good. I think a great example of it in the league this season, that we only want to look at the positive impact it can have on the team.
Adding players, and then when everyone comes back in the playoffs, you have a super team, all that stuff.
The New Jersey Devils were one of the best teams in the league last year. They lost Dougie Hamilton at the start of the season. And they literally have not recovered from losing him, and they're probably going to miss the playoffs because they don't have one of their best players. It's not always good, people. Like last season, yes, maybe the Oilers could have given Evander Kane maybe an extra month on LTIR, but also like it didn't work out. And then the Oilers got Evander Kane back sooner than they needed to, and they got better because they had Evander Kane back in their lineup. Like, I get it, and I understand the frustration, and it's crazy that he's Mark Stone again. But he's also not that crazy because he's had the same injury for 3 years.
His back, he has a degenerative back injury that comes and goes. And I get that's kind of vague. Back pain can be whatever, very tough to deal with. Liam's putting an extra cushion behind because he's got back pain.
Not scripted, people. Unscripted
shit. And again, so like Sam Squatch, and I get that we're half kidding with a lot of this. How do we get Campbell on LTIR for the rest of his deal? And then Dave asked, would you put Kane on LTIR? But that's...
They're not injured.
He's not hurt. This is not an optional thing. You don't just get to sit there and look at a guy and go, ooh, it's LTIR, that guy. Let's just park him over there for a little bit. They need to be hurt. And guess what? If it was truly as easy as just making shit up, every team would be doing this. So as much as Vegas absolutely takes advantage of the system that's in place, if it was as simple as making it up, there'd be 9 contenders every year who go, we have a guy worth 10 mil on LTIR for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Part of this also for Vegas is a little bit of luck that this keeps happening to them.
In a way. Yeah. I think another example of a negative, and granted, not as good as a team like New Jersey would have been, but like Washington thinking they had Backstrom back this season. If he had just said at the start of the season, like, hey, like, I'm going to get my surgery, then they have like, what is it, 10, 9 million to play with? Yep. But now it's like, they're not even sniffing the playoffs. Granted, they probably wouldn't have been, but it's not all rainbows and butterflies.
Yeah.
It's just because it's Vegas over and over again. And I totally understand it. And then like, we get close to the deadline. It's like, oh, Alec Martinez, either out for 6 weeks or out for the season. We haven't decided yet. And he's just like, damn it.
Mainlander Tim says they need to be hurt. Tyler sounding like he's requesting action from us fans next year. No. Wink. I'm not saying hurt players unless their cap hit is significant. No, we're kidding. It's not that they're not hurt. They're milking it as well as the timing. They are. They totally are.
Yeah. There's no denying that, Paul.
Like, play. But I think what maybe gets lost a little bit is like, you know, they're milking it for maybe a week to 10 days. They're not milking it for 3 months. And that's where I'm talking about the luck and the circumstance of it all, you know?
Yeah. Can I also say one thing to maybe close this out? The Edmonton Oilers are a very good hockey team, and they can beat the Vegas Golden Knights with or without Mark Stone.
Six last year, and
they did not play well.
Stuart Skinner turned into a pumpkin because he was gassed, got thrusted into being a starter. Like, I add all these caveats because I hate the idea of just being like, Stuart Skinner, he didn't cost them the playoff.
You got no depth scoring.
It was Connor. What was that first game? Leon scored 4 goals in like the first 30 minutes of the game. That's the only way they were winning games against Vegas. If the other pieces would have shown up, they can beat Vegas in a best of 7. They still can.
You could argue the Oilers' third best forward in that series was Warren Fogle. And now he's not good. This season, that might not be too bad, to be honest. His second line right winger, I take him being pretty good in the series. Was like, that guy was on your third line, and he was the one creating chances and everything. It's like, no, the Oilers are good, and I understand the frustration. But let's just move on. Mark Stone, are we just going to bitch about this all season? Because he's not coming back. So we just got to wait till game one of the playoffs. And if he's there, I'll welcome you all back to come and bitch and complain about Mark Stone. I'll take them all. I'll put them all up on the screen for you. But for now, that's 15 minutes of the show.
Brandt is in. If they milk it too long, they're off the ice longer than needed and lose conditioning. I think that's a part of it too. Like,
it's not easy to come back.
It is not easy to just be like, and I'm back in the lineup and I'm good.
Yeah. What else we got? Lineups today?
Yeah, okay. We'll get into that. That was just kind of the lead for today, was breaking down that comment. I just wanted to check kind of one thing in
Jones left us no choice.
And then he also just didn't stick around for the show.
Jones, where are you? You're watching the show back later.
Oh.
Leave a comment in the morning.
The other thing I wanted to just talk about was the idea of trading Jack Campbell. Like we banned someone from the chat for talking about trading Jack Campbell. Find me the trade. Find me the team who's putting their arm up going, we're in.
Me.
We'll take them. We want Jack Campbell. Like, we'll get to this actually later in the show with the short four giant question. Jack Campbell is getting bought out this summer.
Go ahead.
I don't see any way around it. With your lack of assets, with your lack of prospects, all of that stuff, how are you justifying possibly bringing back Jack Campbell next year?
No, I don't think he'll be back by any means. But I think one thing that's an interesting layer to this is I'm going to go back to the Cal Peterson trade last year. Cal Peterson was not good in the American League for the Kings, the Kings farm team. Like, I shouldn't say he wasn't good. He had 904. So he was about average. Mm-hmm. Jack Campbell is creeping up close to a 920. American League, I get it. But if he can show that, like, hey, I'm actually got it back a little bit and back in the rhythm, like, not going to be easy, but maybe there is an option to find someone to take him and be like, you know what? This guy can be like our 1B, 2A kind of thing. Just thinking out loud a little bit. I think your scenario is more likely, but I think the play and the way he's been able to rebuild himself throughout this season, like the noise is gone on him. All we hear now is positives. Maybe that helps. You know what I mean? Do you think that makes sense? I think that, like I said, likely buyout, but I don't think it's out of the question.
Our boy Eric from our graphic design department said, let's spin positive. We're not buying out Campbell. We're buying in Rodrigue.
Bingo.
All right. Yeah.
Put it on a shirt.
Everyone drop in your Nation Gear ideas so Eric can design shirts. Put them in the chat.
Yeah, Eric, stick around.
Yeah. All right. Let's continue along, Liam. That's enough of the LTIR talk and all of that for now. Let's get to the Service Credit Union lineup report. We can't do mock trades anymore because the trade deadline's passed. So the lineup report is now brought to you by Service Credit Union. The Service Big Share contest is in full swing with your chance to win $1 million just by saving money. Anyone can enter by becoming a member and saving with Service. Every $500 saved gives you 5 entries into the Service Big Share contest. You want a few quick ways how you can earn more entries, Liam? I know you're itching for it.
I'd love to know.
Save in a daily banking account. Fast track your savings with high yield savings accounts. You're all about that high yield action.
I'm all about the high yield.
Invest in a GIC. Service has during this contest period with great interest rates and term length. Save in a TFSA or RRSP for those short term and long term goals. Contest ends April 30th, 2024. Skill test required. For rules, visit service.ca/win.
Before we move on, Naeem has a question for us. Does Campbell get a ring if the Oilers win?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Played regular season games this year.
I think it's up to the team.
It is. I would imagine they'd give him one.
I would too. Not given.
They were trading one Stanley Cup ring for him to have chronic knee pain. Like, you just look at him, you're like, how's the knee feeling, Jack? And you slide the ring like just a little closer. Yeah. He goes, it's great. They just pull it back a little. You go, so you're good to go next year. He goes, yeah, maybe. And then you slide it back. Maybe, Jack.
That's a tease.
Matthew says, isn't it only playoff appearances? It, like, name on the cup. Yeah, Stauffer for Premier. Hilarious. Hilarious. Where's great name. I want to read that more. Please stay and comment more. Playoff appearances affect name on the cup. Cup rings, a team wants to spend $5 million on cup rings and give every concession worker a cup ring, they could. Like, there's no rules on the cup ring. That's whatever. Mm. Typically, though, it is the team who will come together, I believe, and decide, like, hey, do we want, like, the leadership group, hey, do we want to give this guy a ring? Do we want to give this guy a ring? Like, that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
You know, a guy who played one game, like, you know, hey, do we give Brad Malone a cup ring? Like, I don't know. Do we give James Hamblin a cup ring? I don't know. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
I think, I feel like we're talking a lot about the future.
Yeah, that was not somewhere I wanted to get to.
For our off-season talk later on in the show.
Yep. Okay. Lineup report for our friends at Service Credit Union and the Service Big Share Contest. Here's what we had today, courtesy of our boy, Tony Brar. McDavid, new, Timon stays the same. Dreisaitl, McLeod, Fogel stays the same. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that adds up.
Henrique, Kane, Connor Brown stays on the third line.
Mm-hmm.
We like that.
Yeah.
I do too.
You need the speed. If it's Connor Brown or not, he's faster than Corey Perry.
I like Eric Richards' comment in the chat. I survived my time out in Oilers Nation every day YouTube chat, and all I got was this stupid t-shirt that I bought. Very funny. Back to the lines. Listen, Connor Brown, no goals. Very frustrating. Very few points. Incredibly frustrating. Has not been worth it. And you know what? Something we maybe didn't say enough during the deadline period when we were like, should you be in on Eberle, Toffoli, all these names. If Connor Brown had just delivered, that none of this is... This Oilers forward group is so different. If Connor Brown is at 17 goals right now, which feels just like light years away from reality, because it is, then we're sitting here being like, look at this top nine.
I did think about that briefly whilst I was hanging out on my own. If Connor Brown had just hit 5 goals, you know, but he doesn't.
Listen, like, I know, and who was in your final buzzer, don't justify that guy. I'm not.
I don't know what we're supposed to do anymore. Like, he's here. They clearly want him to be part of this roster.
Yeah.
He's on the team.
And Bart says, you know, Brown is disappointing, yes, but still a value defensively. Yes.
Sure. I just don't know what to tell you anymore.
Yeah. What if Connor Brown becomes the Fernando Persani of our playoff run?
Let's hope so.
Doubtful, because his release is about as slow as molasses. But maybe... yeah.
I don't know what to say.
You can't. About Connor
Brown, and I get it. Final buzzer, like,
it's very frustrating.
He has done nothing for us to be like, boy, oh boy, that guy deserves to be in the lineup every night.
Yeah,
from his offensive game, penalty killing is good. I think we can all agree with that.
Yeah, Mike D, when can we get a Tony Brar interview
on this show? Call the Oilers.
I was gonna say Tony's in. I'm sorry. I don't need to be getting in trouble. Let's keep moving along. We do love Tony, though, and we'd love to do some summer content with Tony at some point. All right. Derek Ryan out, Sam Carrick in on the fourth line. So that means the fourth line is Carrick, Janmark, Perry. This is 2/3 of what I'd like to see the fourth line be for game one of the playoffs.
It was what? Sorry, 2/3?
2/3 of what I want the fourth line to be in the playoffs.
You want Holloway.
I want Holloway, Carrick, Perry. So if you were to do that and you had both Janmark and Ryan out of the lineup, who would be your penalty killers in this scenario? Brown, Carrick, Henrique, McLeod, Nuge. You'd still have 5 penalty killers.
5.
And you can rotate playoff time. You could rotate in McDavid and Drysdale if you needed to.
They probably would rotate Drysdale
to take draws.
Win draws. And
so that's your kind of 6. You probably don't need more than 5. Like,
how many do they run right now? Is it 6? Because it would be Janmark. Let's do this lineup. I actually don't even know. Janmark, Brown, McLeod, Nuge.
I'm going to pull up the numbers real quick here. I would love to see Holloway in this lineup with that fourth line. I think Holloway, Carrick, Perry could actually do some stuff.
I do too. But the thing is with Dylan Holloway, he needs to be in Bakersfield and he needs to score some goals.
But he does when he goes down.
No, I know. And that's why I'm glad he's there. He needs to continue to grow as an offensive player and not just be a buzz guy. You know, he needs to... needs to get his playmaking, his abilities back into his game. And I think he saw them through spurts in the NHL, but more often. And I think that Carrick, Perry, Holloway line could be quite effective. You got the veteran, the tough guy, and then the young buck with speed.
Yeah, who just injects some speed into that. Okay, the penalty kill minutes from last game. The Oilers were shorthanded 3 times. McDavid only played 4 seconds on the PK. Dreisaitl only played 19 seconds. Fogel, 22. McLeod, only 37. Henrique, 55, and then it was Nuge for 1:31, Ryan for 2:28, Janmark for 3:31, Brown for 3:39. So if you were to swap out Ryan and Janmark, you would basically want to you'd be hoping, I mean, Derek Ryan for Carrick would be the one swap, and you'd want to trust Adam Henrique with more PK minutes. I think that's doable. I think this is a lineup swapping Janmark for Holloway that you can run in the playoffs. We got a comment in here over in the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat who said, it was from AJ, who said, I want to see Stetra in the top six for a couple of games. Who do you move out if that's the case?
It's Cody Ceci.
There's no way they're health bombing Cody Ceci.
No, which is wrong. But
I agree.
I completely agree. I said it the other day. It's going to be Vinny. It's going to be Vinny, 100%.
And I think what it'll probably take at this point is, well, I mean, okay, someone getting injured, sure. That would obviously change things. But what it'll take is Vinny having a bad game and then them going back to nurse CeCe, and then you'll see Stetcher go up with Kulak.
It's the easiest way to go.
Yeah.
It's the wrong way to do it, but it is the easiest way to go.
If it was on merit, Cody Ceci would be sitting for a game.
100%. He is the worst defenseman of that six. And quite frankly, I don't think he's that close.
And I think I agree with you. Stuart Skinner in the starter's crease at skate today. Right call? I think we decided right call. This month, it's very easy for the rest of the month to go two Skinner, one pick, two Skinner, one pick, two Skinner, one pick.
For the rest of the season, I think Pickett will get a minimum of 7 games the rest of the way. I think depending on where the Oilers are at here with their playoff push towards the end of the April schedule, will dictate on how many games. But yeah, like 2 games for Skinner here. I think going cold against Colorado, that's just not a good idea.
And that is a big game. Okay, so if you were to go for the rest of this month, two Skinner, one pick, you'd go Skinner gets Washington, Colorado, Pickard gets Montreal, good game to put him in on home ice. Skinner would then get Buffalo, Toronto, Pickard gets Ottawa, second of back-to-backs. Skinner gets Winnipeg, LA, 2 big games. Pickard gets Anaheim, that lines up perfectly. And then you would do 2 more against St. Louis and Dallas for Stu. Makes sense. But then there's that back-to-back to start April against the Avs and the Flames. So I don't know how you'd split that up. Maybe home ice, you do just roll out Pickard against the Avs and be like, let's go big dog. 919 save percentage. Let's see what you got.
Well, the thing is too, against, did you say the Avalanche you should play against them?
Yeah. Like why not? We're getting far down.
Yeah. We are getting far down the line, but also maybe you play him against the Flames too, because Colorado could arguably be a bigger game in the stand-in race.
Yeah, so, you're right.
I don't know. I think ahead.
Yeah, we're going far ahead. We're
looking very far down the road in the show.
2-1, 2-1, 2-1. Calvin Pickard's in the chat says, "I got it, Ty. Avs are done." All right, we appreciate you, Mr. Pickard. So there's your lineup report for today. Stuart Skinner expected to get the start tomorrow. It's all brought to you by Service Credit Union. Let's continue along with the show. Liam, we got 3 more segments to get through today. I'm trying to figure out the best order to do all this, but there's kind of a part of me that wants to do rumor roundup now. Let's do a little rumor roundup because there is some stuff kind of percolating around the NHL a little bit right now. Excellent use of the word percolating by me.
That was very good. Could have brushed that one under the rug. I didn't even notice.
And that gave me enough time for my computer to stop freezing. And let me tell you that spring cabin properties are opening up soon out with Tourism Jasper, Pine Bungalows, Alpine Village, Patricia Lake Bungalows. How nice does a weekend out at the Patricia Lake Bungalow sound, Liam?
Sounds awesome.
They also have the Jasper Pride and Ski Festival taking place April 12th to 21st. Loads of events for everyone there. And spring skiing at Marmot Basin is just absolutely top notch. I know things are warming up. We're getting a lot of good weather here in the city. But why not go head out to Jasper for a little spring skiing over the next month? Take advantage of it. Head to jasper.travel/current deals for more information. Okay, rumor roundup, couple to hit on. I want to start with some of the reporting we heard about the Oilers and Cody Ceci, and it came from Elliot Friedman on the 32 Thoughts podcast.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, and to be fair, I did not listen to the podcast. I'm taking transcriptions from at Oilers Access. Friedman on 32 Thoughts says the Oilers thought about subtracting some players. He names Cody Ceci, but says he thinks players indicated they'd prefer to have Ceci kept around. He doesn't think Ceci is the only player they considered subtracting. The first part of this tweet here, where it says he names Cody Ceci, but thinks some players indicated they'd prefer to have Ceci kept around. I'm sure last year in January, a lot of players would have said we'd prefer if Tyson Barry was kept around. Sometimes you can't let, for lack of a better phrase, the inmates run the asylum.
Oh, 100%. I just, friendship doesn't win you a Stanley Cup. You know, the Vegas Golden Knights don't care about your friendships. They care about winning.
Which is why they're going to let Jonathan Marchessault, fresh off winning his Conn Smythe last year, probably walk for nothing as a free agent. It's why they traded Marc-Andre Fleury for a prayer after he won a Vezina trophy for them.
It's why they traded Riley Smith so they could re-sign Barbashev.
Yeah.
They do what's in the best interest of that organization. And I just don't think this was, if there was a deal on the table that someone was going to take CeCe, I think that was the right play. Again, no, like, I don't know who you would have replaced him with necessarily. So I'm sure there's another layer of it too. So maybe they kind of played into each other of like, hey, like, we don't need to disrupt the room because who are we going to get?
I think that's part of it, because Naeem says they were willing to get rid of CeCe for Tanev though.
Yeah, there's that.
And like getting rid of Barry was for Ekholm, like a tangible, whoa, look at who we got. And I think if you, like, they weren't going to disrupt the chemistry and give up the assets to go from CeCe to Walker. Not a significant enough upgrade, but the assets and the disruption for CeCe to Tanev is enough.
Yeah, and I think I would have been fine by, you know, like you said, a significant upgrade. And like, if it wasn't Carey, Walker, what is it, Colin Miller?
Yeah.
Like, maybe there just wasn't the market there, like we all seem to think there was, but I just don't like that messaging. And maybe that's just, like I said, we didn't listen to the show. We're just taking some transcripts from it, but to not trade someone because the guys like him when he's such a liability, I don't know if I'm on that train.
Dave says, we're back to Tyler and Liam talking about their team crush again. I'm going to wear a Golden Knights jersey tomorrow on the show.
Team crush. The Golden Knights.
Yeah, because he says we always.
I hate it. I have the Golden Knights movie on Twitter.
Boom.
Eat it. And also the Winnipeg Jets, Chicago Blackhawks, and LA Kings. You may be wondering why. I would say go look at the Oilers' recent playoff history.
Mm. I do have a Golden Knights jersey. Did you know that? I own one.
Why?
I was at a flea market, and there was, it was the summer they did the Neil for Lucic trade. And at this flea market, there was a James Neal Golden Knights jersey that was like $40. And I was in the mood to blow some money. And I was like, this is an authentic jersey. That's sick.
I'm all with you on that one. I'd rather have a Bonneville Pontiac's jersey.
That's a good summer conversation. We're going to talk about the worst jerseys we've seen. All right. Where were we? So the CeCe thing. Yeah, I think they were clearly willing to do it for an upgrade, but they weren't going to disrupt their chemistry for a minor kind of or lateral move, let's call it that, which again, Walker would have taken a first round pick to get. You already gave a first round pick for Adam Henrique, probably weren't doing it for another rental. So there you go. Friedman says the Oilers, Canucks, and Kings were in on Tyler Toffoli, but on the morning of the deadline, Winnipeg made a massive pitch and got the deal done. My counter argument to that, a second and a third for Toffoli is not a massive pitch.
Well, yeah. What does that mean?
The hell was everyone else offering?
Is the pitch that, or do they have to call and be like, hey, who's Tom Fitzgerald?
Yep.
Please, Tom. It's Kevin Cheveldayoff.
What were the other offers? What were the Oilers offering that was worse than a second and a third?
Because I would have given up a first for Toffoli.
Yeah. Unless, premium rental.
But the other layer of it too is, the Oilers would need a third party involved. They would have had to go and find somebody else as well to take it. And maybe that's why Winnipeg got ahead of it over LA and Edmonton, is because like, we don't need the third party. We can take all this money if you just give us 50% retained. Where Edmonton is like, okay, but you have to go call a third party. Now we do whatever, however it works, right? I mean, I'm sure that was part of it.
Yeah. Dave is in, and so it skipped right.
Evan.
Evan's also in. Okay, we'll go to Evan. CeCe and Brown don't deserve to be in this lineup, IMO. Broberg and Holloway replace each of them respectfully.
Probably.
I don't know. Yeah, I'd like to see more Broberg, but we're not getting that.
The only problem is those two are right-handed shots, and Broberg and Holloway both left-handed shots.
Yeah.
Kind of messed with that a little bit. But the better. I'm not denying that.
Dave is in. I think lots of it has to do with needing a seventh defenseman. Trading CeCe would have left us with six and an uncertainty of finding a seventh. The only CeCe trade you could make was one where a D-man comes back, and then you probably still go get Troy Stetcher.
Maybe you don't make the Stetcher trade, and you get Toffoli and Colin Miller. Colin Miller's 1-8.
Yeah, he's cheap. You could have done Miller and Toffoli for a first and CeCe, maybe?
Maybe you could have.
Or maybe you could
have. Mock trades are back.
Mock trades, fire up the service credit. yeah, So I don't know. I just found it interesting to see kind of the post deadline stuff on Cody Ceci. So I wanted to get to that a little bit. There is also a report coming out today about the NHL and potential expansion. First off, who's the owner of the Rams? Stan Kroenke? Yes. There's talk about him wanting to bring an NHL team to San Diego. I promised myself I would never do this again. If the NHL ever expands to San Diego, I will eat cat food again on the show. That's so obviously never going to happen.
No, that would be a terrible mistake. There's so many cities.
Who's calling you?
I don't know. I can't see.
People not know you're on the air? Why is your phone so far away? What if there was an emergency?
I didn't want to be distracted. Now I clearly am. No,
are they calling again?
I don't know. It's a long phone call. No, they cannot go to San Diego. I would go to Kansas, Salt Lake, Quebec. Two teams in Toronto.
The San Diego thing's obviously never going to happen, unless it's relocation from, like someone said, San Jose. Sure. That makes sense.
I guess.
Like Aiden said, San Diego Sharks. But there is absolutely zero reason to have three teams in Southern California and the Ducks, Kings, and San Diego. So that's not happening. But then there's also Elliot Friedman. I saw passed this along earlier today.
Doesn't Stan Kroenke also owns the Colorado Avalanche?
I know. He wants them both.
And Arsenal.
And the Rams.
And the Denver Nuggets and the Colorado Rapids and the Colorado Mammoths.
How did he make all his money?
Probably sports teams.
Well,
it says Kroenke Sports and Entertainment. He's also the founder of the
He married the Walmart heiress.
Oh,
Kroenke married Anna Walton, a Walmart heiress, in 1974. He founded the Kroenke Group in 1983. Wonder where he got the money. A real estate development firm that has built shopping centers and apartment buildings. He's developed many of his plazas. Get this, near Walmart stores.
Who would have thought?
You know, my mom had a line she used to like to say to us, Liam.
What's that?
Marry rich.
Yeah.
She's not going to be happy I said that. but yeah, they're dangerous way to say it. Walmart family. Smart move. True love. The man loves money. And maybe Anna Walton. And we shouldn't be that
hopefully
rude.
His wife.
Anna Walton.
Anna Walton.
Heiress to the Walmart fortune. Dave says, where can I find this Tyler eating cat food video? It's been scrubbed. But anyways,
no, it hasn't.
San Diego's not happening. Could Atlanta happen? Elliot Friedman with this. We have a new entrant revealing its desire for NHL expansion. Broadcaster Anson Carter, who scored 202 goals in 674 NHL games, unveils Alpharetta Sports and Entertainment Group, wishing to bring the team back to Atlanta. This better not happen. I'm not doing the cat food bet with Atlanta because where there's smoke, there is potentially fire. But this is dumb. We can't be going back to Atlanta for a third time, everybody. And what's also dumb, you can give me any market. You could be like, hey, the NHL is expanding to 34 teams. It's Quebec City and Houston, who I think would be the two best. And I would sit here and say it's dumb. It's very dumb. The Atlanta SpaghettiOs said, bring Cassian home. Eric, it's a failed concept. Eric, it is. Atlanta won't work. I do not think Atlanta will work. It's not a great sports town.
No, not just for hockey. The basketball team is one of the lowest.
The Braves were struggling to sell out playoff games.
Yeah, there's certain places that just don't work. I'm trying to find it here. So the Atlanta Hawks, they're the fifth worst attendance in the NBA this season.
It's not a good sports town. It's a big city, not a good sports town. Not an elite sports town.
Yeah.
I don't understand why the NHL would go down that bridge again. And also just bigger picture. Why do you want to expand?
I agree. There is not enough.
There's already not enough star power going around the league.
Yeah.
I think generally the product right now is good in the NHL. I'm not trying to say it's not, but going to 34, having to go, like, imagine the, let's call them whatever, top 50 players in the American League. If they were all in the NHL right now, like, I just think it'll weaken it too much. And go in, yeah, okay, Maynard Nugent Spivey, expansion fees, $1 billion. I get it. If you're the owners and you're sitting there going, we're about to get $2 billion in expansion fees or somewhere between $1 to $2 billion in expansion fees, it is very hard to turn down. But then you're sharing revenue a little bit more. Okay, revenue's higher. I get that, sure. But why not figure out the dead weight before we do all this?
Yeah, I completely agree.
Okay, keep going, sorry.
I was going to say, like, the NBA is the one that needs to expand. They have superstar everything. They've actually probably pushed the limit of it.
Mm-hmm.
They need to get moving. The NHL has arguably expanded too quickly the last few years.
Yep.
I think Seattle and Vegas have done fantastic jobs coming into the league. But did you really need to move to 32 teams?
I think 32 is a nice even number.
I think it's
though.
A good number too. I also think 30 was great.
32 can be divided into two equal 16 team conferences, yep. which create two equal 8-team divisions. If you ever wanted to go NFL style, you could do 4-team divisions, all that stuff. 34 divides into 17. Very awkward. 17 doesn't divide into two even numbers.
Yeah.
Very awkward. 34 is pointless. It's so dumb. And, you know, Cole says owners want extended playoffs, think it'll happen sooner than later. But in the NHL, like, the best part of the NHL playoffs is round one. And you're going to mess with that by saying first place gets a bye. We're playing a number three. There is a way I think it can work without really hurting the best part of the playoffs, which is the first four nights of round one. First four games of round one, I'd say. Yeah. When everything's happening every night, there's four games. It's electric. If they wanted to introduce a play-in, I think I'd have time for it.
Ooh, I don't think I would.
No?
I just think you lose the fun of trying to chase the eighth seed.
I get that.
Because what would it be right now?
So
let's just say it goes 1-8. Yeah. You would have, what do they do in the NBA? I think it's 12-9. I don't know. It'd be like New York, Washington, the Devils in the West, East, sorry. Mm-hmm. And then in the West, it would be St. Louis, Minnesota, Seattle. Do you want to see any of those teams? Like, I quite frankly could live without seeing the Washington Capitals take on the New York Islanders.
So here's one way I think I would do it. And it is, if you were top three in your division, you're in. And really incentivize those division spots. You are going
used to.
Yeah.
They used to be the top three teams in each conference, right?
So if you're in the top three in your division, you're in. You're getting a best of seven round one. If you're a wild card team, you got to gut it out a little bit. But the way I would do it is Minnesota would play St. Louis it's like right now, right? They are wild card teams 3 and 4. So they're the 9 and 10 seeds.
Okay.
St. Louis plays Minnesota. The winner of that goes and plays a best of three in Vegas. All three games in Vegas.
Are you asking me?
Yeah. Do you like that?
No. I don't think teams would do that. I don't hate it, but I just don't think the teams would accept that.
It would give... So one thing, so it would...
three games of revenue to two, whoever would the home advantage team be.
Home team gets two games of gate revenue. That's a couple $1 million.
I didn't know why that
in each conference.
Is you do a one and done.
So it's got to be like mini plays St. Louis, winner plays Vegas. Maybe that team has to beat Vegas twice. That could be an interesting way to do it.
Like that, maybe. Yeah. It's maybe a way to go about it. One and done kind of thing.
Got to be Vegas twice. Actually, I don't hate that. You got to beat them twice in their barn and then you can steal their seed.
Yeah, it might not be bad.
And then you'd also have the built-in travel. Like that'd be, I mean, you are to an extent, if one of those super wild card teams, you're calling it. Do you see Lance's comment? Yeah, are you asking me, the co-host of the show?
It didn't feel like you were leading into a question.
But if you were one of those super wild card teams, you are so far behind you're being buried to have to sit there. Like, let's say in my hypothetical setup here, and maybe we can put a poll in the chat. Do you like my idea? Minnesota would have to go to St. Louis and play them in a one game straight up elimination. The winner of that game, game 83, would go and have to beat Vegas twice in their barn. You'd have to win three games in a row to get into the playoffs just to play the number one seed in the conference. It then adds a little bit more incentive to be the number one seed in your conference, because you are going to potentially get a battered and bruised team, a team that is coming in gas. They've been on the road for 10 days already. Like, it's a grind. And if you're the last seed, Vegas, all you have to do is not lose twice at home. If you lose twice at home to a team that just played two nights earlier in St. Louis, then you don't deserve to be a playoff team. It incentivizes the one seed. Right now, if they were to do it, there's no playoff race in the Western Conference. It's cooked. It's over. No one's catching Nashville. No one's catching Vegas. No one's catching LA. But if we were to flip this, think of the races it creates. Teams fighting for the one seed, because not only do they want home seed in the playoffs the whole way, home ice in the playoffs the whole way, you want to play that team that's getting beat up, having to go through the gauntlet of your super wild card round. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You would have the intense playoff race of Vegas and LA, not so much Edmonton, but sure. Vegas and LA fighting tooth and nail for that third spot in the Pacific, because you don't want to be a super wild card team. You would then also have them fighting tooth and nail with Nashville, because if you're wild card one, you're good.
Right.
So now you have this race for number one. You have this race for number three. You would then also, to an extent in some years, not so much this year, have St. Louis and Minnie trying to catch whoever that wild card two is, because you don't want to have to play in game 83. You want to go to the wild card round. You don't want to play game 83. You would have St. Louis and Minnie fighting each other for where that home game's going to be, because you don't want the extra travel before you have to potentially go to Vegas. Right. And then Seattle's only 2 points back of Minnie with two games in hand. Calgary's 2 points back of Minnie with a game in hand. You would then have these teams going, oh, if we could just get that spot, we can sneak in and go on a miracle run. Their fan bases are invested.
It's an idea. I just kind of lost it, to be honest. Like, I was kind of not 100% sure on everything.
But was I too confusing?
I lost track. But I also lost track when you said there's no race in the West currently.
Well, there's not.
There is. Vegas has to play Seattle and Calgary in the next two games.
Okay.
They lose both those games. Vegas is the only team out of that, six teams, who has a losing record in the last 10. I think it's a little close.
St. Louis is 4-5-1 in their last 10.
500.
4-5-1 is not 500.
You're right. I mean, the other three are. I think it's a little closer. Probably Vegas likely. But either way, that'd be an idea. I just don't think they should expand, though.
I'm so anti-expansion. It's not even funny. Mm-hmm. There you go. That's our rumor roundup for Tourism Jasper. I want to hear what you guys think of my idea, because I was so in-depth on explaining my idea and all the different permutations of it that I didn't really look at the chat. Let's get to the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat, brought to you by Charm Diamond Centers, proudly Canadian-owned and operated with more than 85 locations across the country through Charm and their sister brands. It's home of the Pro Pose. You can check out their large selection of Canadian lab-grown diamonds, mine diamonds, and you don't pay until 2025 with their instant in-store financing, OAC. For more information, go to charmdiamondcenters.com. Calvin Pickard, way too confusing, Ty. Okay, but it's not. Again, Aaron, do we have the Western Conference standings?
I'm a visual learner, so I need this too.
But we don't have the teams below. Damn it.
But the two teams below are Minnesota and St. Louis.
Yeah. So the two teams below that are Minnesota and St. Louis. So when you look at just the wild card picture, let's say the season ended today in the NHL, there would be four wild card teams. Nashville's one, Vegas is two, St. Louis is three, Minnesota's four. Nashville's good. They're in. The two bottom, three and four, play in a one-game 83 elimination, single elimination.
Okay.
Winner of that goes to Vegas and has to beat them twice on home ice to move on. If Vegas beats them in game one, done. If Vegas beats them in game two, done. They just got to beat them once.
Interesting. Okay.
And then that team is the eighth seed. It could be Minnesota beating St. Louis in game 83. They go to Vegas, beat them twice, then boom, Minnesota's finished the gauntlet, and they are now your eighth seed.
Gotcha.
It doesn't hurt the traditional feel of the Stanley Cup playoffs. It would give the teams who have established themselves as playoff teams a four-day break before the playoffs. That'd be interesting.
I see it now. I'm getting the picture in my head.
Matthias Janmark, it penalizes tanking and keeps bottom of the league games interesting. Sure, I'm in. Mainlander Tim, I'm on board. It also cuts down trade deadline sellers. It doesn't. Because by expanding the playoff window, there might be teams who are like, you know, we can sell off a few assets and still maybe squeak in and maybe get the best of both worlds. But I do think I'm more on the side of it. It would cut down on trade deadline sellers. JBD, Tyler's idea is not that different from the NBA plan. It's really not. There's a chance Vegas has to go through the Central. Yes, there is. That's a fact. Forget playoff format. Let's get the cap to carry over to the playoffs. I think that's a dangerous game to play. Very dangerous. Nathan is in. He says, Tyler needs to present this to the NHL. LOL. Blacklisted Maynard Nugent Spivey. In actual news, Rempe will get suspended. Yeah, probably. He'll get 2 games. Doesn't really affect my life all that much. St. Louis, Minnesota, Seattle, and Calgary could catch Vegas. Do you want to bet on this?
No. But I,
because you don't believe in what you're saying. That's why.
No, I do believe in what I'm saying. You said there's no race.
They're not. There's six games, 6 points back with, and Vegas has a game in hand.
I think there's a race. I think there's some big games coming up. I think there's a race. Why is that crazy to say? You said there's no way LA or Vegas would catch the Oilers. They're only 4 points back.
I
may have to play them again.
I think there is. Yeah, there's still a race between Edmonton, LA, and Vegas.
I think it's likely that Vegas makes the playoffs. I also said Nashville shouldn't sell at the deadline, and they didn't.
They kind of sold, kind of didn't.
They bought.
They traded Brennan.
They sold the guys that they didn't think would re-sign, and they brought in Beauvillier and Zucker.
Liam's not into this ideal at all.
I'm not. I like 1-8.
It's simple, but I'm saying if you want to expand the playoff format, I think it's a good way to do it. It would be the end of the NHL in Canada. Seems intense. I imagine they would do best of three. Teams want home games. That's a lot of travel, though. I don't know about that. Luck determines the outcomes too frequently, whether it's puck luck or a bad call or a bunch of bad calls. Yeah, like a one-game elimination. But again, it's only a one-game elimination for the 3 and 4 seeds in my scenario. Wild card 3, wild card 4. So that's where it's a little bit different. And baseball, though, did eventually switch to
they stopped it now,
best of three, all in one team city.
But I'll never forget the Edwin Encarnacion moment.
Electric.
It was the best.
They played 162 games, and your best memory of that season was the one card, wild card.
Rounding the bases.
Yeah.
With his parrot on his arm. Eddie the Encarnacion. I was going to say eagle after I said parrot.
All right. There you go. That is our rumor roundup for Tourism Jasper. Took a quick look at the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat. We rolled through. We're going to have to bump a segment to tomorrow. We have too much.
Which one are you bumping?
I don't know. I'll bump the off-season look ahead.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be our Sherwood Ford Giant question of the show. Tomorrow's a Sherwood Ford Giant game day, though. So maybe we'll dig into it a little bit there. Basically, I used Cap Friendly's tool to look ahead to the off-season for the Oilers, how much money they could have, where they could look to upgrade and things like that. So we'll do that tomorrow, but a big shout out to Sherwood Ford the Giant. We are getting into all the game day activities tomorrow. Sherwood Power Sports and Marine, key to victories, all of that stuff. I don't think Jay's around. He's still international man of mystery. He's either in Hawaii or Copenhagen.
Oh, yeah. I think
he's in one Hawaii. Of those two spots right now.
I think he's still in Hawaii.
Okay. Well, I hope he's enjoying it. It looks lovely. And that sounded sarcastic. I actually do hope Jay's enjoying it. It seems great. I would love to be on the beach right now. Let's keep cruising along then. This or that for our friends at Star Mechanical, Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. You can find them online at starmechanical.ca.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Liam, earlier today on Daily Faceoff Live, we had people in the comments of this show being like, Tyler's being an Oilers hater, blah, 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 blah. Oilers Nation, geez, someone just threw me off. No, the time change got me. I'm late. Damn. What?
In 3 days.
Yeah, that's confusing. I read that out of the corner of my eye. It threw me off an unbelievable amount. But Star Mechanical, this or that. Earlier today on Daily Faceoff Live, Colby Cohen and I each did our Western Conference power rankings. The The question was, though, rank the teams in the West off who is best built to go on a long playoff run this year.
Okay.
I want you to pick this or that, my ranking or Colby's. Which one do you agree with the most?
Best to go on a long run.
Yeah, so we've had the same bottom order. I went Edmonton, Vancouver, LA in my bottom three. He went Edmonton, Vancouver, LA in his bottom three. We were very different at the top, though. I had Dallas as one. I just think their blue line's different, or their blue line's the most complete.
Blue line is solid.
Winnipeg, too, because I think their forward group is the most complete, and they have the best goalie.
Yeah.
Vegas at three. Because I think their deficiencies are less than the other team's deficiencies. Like, that's a really solid team. They're coached well. They know how to play in the playoffs, all that stuff. Colorado at four, just because I have them above Edmonton. I think goaltending is honestly kind of a saw-off there between Edmonton and Colorado. They have a Cale Makar on their blue line. Edmonton does not.
Mm-hmm.
The star power up front is very good for Edmonton. And I actually kind of like Edmonton's top nine more than I like Colorado's top nine, but Colorado can at least keep up with the skill. Makar is a difference maker, so that's why I had them there. So that's my ranking. Colby went Vegas, Colorado, Dallas, Winnipeg, Edmonton, Vancouver, LA. Which one do you agree with more?
It's hard because I like disagree with and agree with so much on both lists. Like, I think it's fair to have Vegas at number one still. Like, if they're healthy, they're kind of a beast. But I don't think I would have Colorado that high, so I agree with you on that. I think one thing that's not being considered here is that now their second line center has never played a playoff game. Yeah. Casey Middlestad.
Never even come close to playing a meaningful NHL hockey game.
So that's something. I think the Jets are really good, but also like a little bit overrated in the same breath too. Like, so I guess I would more agree with your list than Colby's list. I think the only should be higher, though.
Higher than who?
Like, honestly think I would put them a little bit higher than...
I think you can make an argument they're higher than Colorado.
I think I'd put them higher than Colorado. I think I would put Vegas at two. I might even put the Oilers at number three. Like, I think Winnipeg and Edmonton are a little bit closer than maybe Edmonton are getting credit for.
Hellebuck, though, man.
No. And that is the biggest difference for sure. But like, then the Oilers blue line is right there with them. But the Winnipeg forward group, while good, is it that much better than Edmonton's group?
Winnipeg's?
Yeah, like, it's solid. Don't get me wrong. But like, they don't have a McDavid or Draisaitl.
They don't have a game breaker. And I think that's true. But where, again, I think I would want to keep them higher for now is that they're game breakers between the pipes.
Yeah, and that obviously makes a huge difference. And we saw it.
Yeah.
We saw it not that long ago.
And
Kyle Connor's an elite goal scorer.
So their top line, Connor, Scheifele, Ehlers. That can do damage.
Yeah.
Second line, Iafallo, Monahan, Toffoli.
Sorry, I think the Oilers' first line's better.
Yeah, it is. Yeah?
Okay. So it's one.
Monahan, Toffoli, Iafallo. That's a really good second line.
It is. We need to see if this chemistry between our second line can continue. So I'll give the edge to them right now.
Adam Lowry with Appleton and Niederreiter is your shutdown third line. That's good so
in
good.
That sense. Yeah. I think the Oilers third line is going to be dependent on Brown. And that's what's really
Lowry's a better shutdown center than Henrique. Not even.
But Kane's a better goal scorer than any of those.
Niederreiter's a more trustworthy defensive player than Kane.
Okay, we'll call it even.
Nemesnikov with Perfetti and Barron.
Well, when we get Holloway back.
Holloway can be Perfetti, Nemesnikov over Carrick, and then Barron and Perry. Sure.
Like top 6 minutes this year.
So was Perfetti. And you could say, well, Matthias Janmark was playing top 6 minutes too, but that's not the point.
I don't think it's... maybe I'm not giving Winnipeg enough credit. I just think the Oilers' X factors could outweigh them in a series.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to, they probably would have beat Winnipeg twice this season if Skinner didn't have his bluff, right? The Oilers probably would have beat tight games, but the Oilers can win tight games. And if we keep saying like, well, Hellebuck's their game breaker, it's like, well, the Oilers have outplayed them in two games and then an error led to them winning because their guys couldn't score.
Yeah.
On Stuart Skinner.
I'll just flash it up again, Aaron, because I just, again, with me having the Oilers as low as I do think you could pair up any team on this, like LA is very clearly seven, so keep them out of it. But you could pair up any two of those top six teams in a playoff series. And I honestly think the sportsbooks have it at like -110 each. I think they're all so
tight.
They're all coin flips, man, which is what's going to make this playoff so fascinating.
Wait, how far down did you say? 1-6?
Yeah, LA, I think, is the worst team in any one of those matchups. But like Edmonton, Vancouver in a playoff series is -110 apiece on the books. Betway, shout out to Betway, 19 plus. Please play responsibly. I'll have a pick for tonight.
I think Nashville might be higher than LA. Look at me as you, I can see you looking at me. I think they might be. I think they have better players.
I don't hate that. Just the goaltending alone. Yeah.
Yeah.
LA, you probably could have not had in this conversation.
Yeah. Just if we're just going to do the full eight, I would say
I might.
Nashville would be seven for me. The Kings, eight. Roman Yossi is still elite. Forward group outweighs him a little bit, I would say, in LA. Ironically, like Kevin Fiala would make a huge difference on Nashville, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Lance says, I thought Tyler was an Oilers fan. And I'm just,
Tyler loves the Oilers.
I mean, and also, like, do you realize how terrible this program would be if I just sat here for an hour every day being like, cup year, Oilers winning the cup. Oh, I don't care. Oh, did they play bad against Buffalo? Who gives a shit? Cup year.
We need the balance. Sometimes we don't like
it. I will sit there. I will be at the game on Wednesday night wearing a jersey of some sort. I own many. My Golden Knights jersey. I'll be wearing one of my Oilers jerseys. I'll be crushing a brewski in the stands in my usual seats.
Mm-hmm.
And
saying
I will,
hello to you all as you walk by.
Yeah, and I'll be cheering and standing up and clapping for 5 seconds every time they score. Only five, unless it's a great goal. I have standards, you know. I will be rooting just as hard as anyone else. To sit here and say that just because I, you know, I'm not an Oilers fan because I can properly criticize the hockey team. Come on.
Yeah. And I will balance this out by overrating the Oilers.
Stauffer for Premier said Liam's homering hard.
On which one? Like maybe Winnipeg is a little bit better, but I don't know. I just think.
I like their blue line too. Their blue line's got a, I said it down DFO Live. Their blue line's got a bunch of pricks, man.
So does the Oilers. Nah, it doesn't have a bunch. I would say Nurse and Vinny.
Cody Ceci's not a prick.
Cody Ceci's not a prick. Kulak can be farm boy strong.
But he's not a prick.
No, that's true.
Like Brendan Dillon, Neil Pionk, Dylan DeMello. Like those guys.
But I think the others collectively have that within their forward group as well.
Perry's a prick.
Perry, Kane.
Kane's a prick. Drysdale can be a prick.
Drysdale.
Just has to be disciplined, yeah.
There's one other guy, Yammer. Probably not a prick, but it'll beat the wheels off you.
Yeah.
Right, Blake Coleman. Kick puck again. See how that goes.
We have McDavid from Quincy, and he's holding back on scoring for the playoffs. I don't like that line of thinking. The idea that McDavid's like intentionally not scoring his goals, like saving his bullets.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't
That's
like that.
A little either. Ridiculous. Connor, just start scoring now. Just.
So, Aaron, if you can just pull up Tyler Singer, and I'll give my power rankings. If you
yeah, give yours, and then we'll wrap up the show because it's 1 o'clock.
And we thought we weren't going to have enough.
We literally, basically, we could have gone longer on rumors, and we didn't do our giant question, but keep go.
Okay, I'll say Dallas is one. Dallas, Winnipeg, Vegas, Edmonton, Colorado, Vancouver, Nashville, LA. But I truly believe, like you said, 1 through 6, you could literally put them in any order. Like we might even be underrating the Vancouver Canucks a little bit here.
Yeah.
They've got a very good forward group. Jim Rutherford and Patrick Galvin have done well to add to that group.
Thatcher Demko.
And we want to talk about an X factor in Winnipeg. They've got one just as good in Vancouver too.
To steal the old Moneyball line, I think it's Dallas, Winnipeg, Vegas, Colorado, Edmonton, Vancouver, 50 feet of crap, LA, Nashville. So there you go. Wrapping up with the menu for our friends at DoorDash, 25% off, zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. New episode of Oilers Nation Radio going to drop later on this afternoon. We're going to be doing a little post-deadline thing. We will float the power rankings past everyone, but knowing our co-host on that show, I have a funny feeling I know where Rick would have the Oilers on his Western power ranking.
Yep.
So we'll find a different way to float that. I love Rick, though. New episode of Oilers Nation Radio will drop later on this afternoon. And then tomorrow, Sherwood Ford Giant game day edition of the program. Let's go.
Finally.
My last men's league curling game tonight.
One of the last games Alexander Ovechkin will likely be in Edmonton tomorrow.
That is also a good one. Maybe we'll have someone from the Caps on to chit-chat a little bit. Yeah, we'll get Ovi. Why not get Ovi? Giddy up. Thanks for tuning in today, everybody. Charm Diamond YouTube chat. You guys were fantastic. Really brought it today. Carried us through this show. Hit the like button before you close your window and hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. Enjoy your Tuesday night. We'll chat again tomorrow, noon Mountain Time.